puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for our weekly check-in with Gordon Goldsborough and Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we discussing this week?
A month ago, I had an opportunity to see up close the huge stone kilns that stand in the Quarry Park in Stonewall. I learned about their restoration, their early history, and how their demise was connected, at least in part, with the widespread abandonment of outhouses through the 20th century.
So first of all, how many kilns are located in Stonewall?
Well, maybe I should clarify that there are several kilns around town, some of them located on private property, but we're discussing today the 10 kilns that are in the public Quarry Park on the north side of town. Three draw kilns stand near the main building in the park, and these are the ones that are presently undergoing restoration. There are several other smaller pot kilns a short distance away, and the purpose of all these kilns was to take locally quarried limestone and calcinate it.
Okay, so what is calcination?
It's a process whereby raw limestone rock, and for the purists out there, that would be calcium carbonate or calcite, it's exposed to temperatures over 800 Celsius. This causes the chemical structure to break apart into carbon dioxide and calcium oxide, a calcium atom combined with an oxygen, sometimes called quicklime. Now, in turn, quicklime can be mixed with water to create calcium hydroxide, which is also called slaked lime. There's all kinds of forms of lime, and the various forms do have many uses industrially, including in the manufacture of cement and plaster. In fact, when you mix slaked lime with water and salt, it turns into a type of paint called whitewash. And that's very historic stuff. People have probably heard about stories with whitewash. I know I have. And lime is also effective at breaking down the gaseous chemicals that are emitted by decomposing organic matter. So this is where we get the connection with outhouses. Without putting too fine a point on it, outdoor toilets, outhouses, can be very smelly because, well, they sit over a pit full of human waste. The smell can be alleviated by sprinkling lime into the pit after each use.
Earlier you mentioned draw kilns and pot kilns. What's the difference?
Well, a pot kiln is small and fairly primitive. The idea is you fill it with crushed limestone, and then you raise the temperature, usually by burning wood or some other fuel, and you produce lime. But the lime can only be removed from the kiln after it's cooled down. In contrast, draw kilns are designed for continuous operations. They're better suited for larger operations. The limestone is put in the top of the kiln, and as it moves downward, it is converted to lime, and then it's removed or drawn out. And that's why it's called a draw kiln. And you don't have to wait for the kiln to cool. In other words, it can remain hot. You can produce the lime constantly. What's interesting about both types of kilns at Stonewall is that they're constructed of large limestone blocks. And one might well ask, you know, how can you calcinate limestone inside a kiln that is itself made out of limestone without destroying the kiln in the process? Well, to protect the limestone of the kiln from being calcinated, the interior of the kiln is lined with material that can withstand the high temperatures within the kiln. You use either granite stones that maybe you've picked up in the surrounding countryside, or in the more professionally designed kilns, you use special heat-resistant bricks called fire bricks.
What's the history of the kilns at Stonewall?
The pot kilns, the older of the two in Quarry Park, were constructed in 1882 by two brothers, Enoch and Joseph Williams. There are seven of them in a row, and that's because it took 7 days to produce a batch of lime, 1 day to load the kiln with rock, 3 days to do the calcination, 2 days for the kiln to cool down, and 1 day to shovel out the finished lime. So, in other words, if you had seven kilns, well, you could carry on this process all week. You'd produce lime every day by having seven of them. But as you can imagine, it was a very labor-intensive process, all that shoveling of rock and lime and wood and whatever else. The draw kilns, by comparison, were much more efficient, but we still see in amongst those three draw kilns at Quarry Park progress. So the oldest of the kilns dates from 1904, and judging from its primitive construction, it was built by people who were, let's just say, not kiln experts. 2 years later, a second kiln was built beside it, and it was also a little primitive. But the third and the youngest kiln that dates from 1912, it appears to have been the work of master masons, a much more professionally built kiln.
And how recently have the kilns been used?
The last use of the kilns was in 1967, so quite a long time ago. And as to why they're not in use anymore, well, it's partly because the demand for lime that they produced has dwindled. Alan Webb is a member of the Stonewall Heritage Advisory Committee. They're the ones that are leading the Save the Kilns project. And he gave me a tour of the site a month ago. Alan told me that as the use of outhouses declined, and of course we've seen that because of improvements in sanitation, well, so too did the demand for lime to control odors. Likewise, the demand for whitewash declined, and if you're wondering why that was, well, at one time, whitewash was used on the interior surfaces of, well, things like barns. And the idea was to brighten them so that under the dim sort of kerosene lamplight, it wouldn't be quite so dark and dingy. Well, once you had electric lights, and that, of course, began to become common in the 1950s, whitewash, well, you don't need it so much. And I think another factor in the demise of the Quarry Park kilns was that the high-quality limestone that fed those kilns was being depleted.
Now, you said the kilns are presently being restored. What's being done?
Well, essentially, they need to stabilize the old kilns to prevent them from falling apart. The project is being done in three phases. The first phase involves rebuilding the youngest of the three kilns, the one from 1912. It was carefully disassembled, and the big stones that made it up were labeled so that they could be reassembled as they were before. It will, in theory, look exactly like it did before. But in the meantime, the skilled masons who are doing the work, they're doing all sorts of things, you know, behind the scenes to stabilize the whole thing. So, for example, they're using some steel inside, some structural steel inside the kiln, and they're also putting a concrete retaining wall that is actually quite neatly hidden behind the original stone facing to basically support the structure. Unfortunately, the work is time-consuming, the work of those masons, and therefore it's costly. The first phase is estimated to cost about $1.8 million, but they have received contributions of over $3.75 million, so they're in good shape. You know, the project's on budget, if not on time, and they've lost time because they had trouble getting the steel they needed to stabilize. But fundraising has been pretty successful. They received funds from the Manitoba government, the town of Stonewall, a group called the Rockwood Quarry Producers. There are other quarries nearby where they're producing limestone for other purposes. They contributed. And then there's a whole host of private donors that are funneled through the Interlake Community Foundation that are providing the funds too.
Now, you said there were three kilns, but only one is presently being restored. Will the other two be restored as well?
Yep, that's the plan for the second and third phases of the project, to restore the other two kilns. But the masons have studied them, and they say that they have to be completely dismantled because they, too, need some serious structural foundation work to be done before they can be rebuilt. And they've got a rough estimate of the cost that was done last year of $4 to $5 million. Now, they have raised some of the money because, as I mentioned before, they have donations that exceed the cost of restoring that first kiln, but they do need more. They haven't finished all of the fundraising work that they need to stabilize those other kilns. So in the meantime, what they're going to do is they're simply going to sort of stabilize them as best they can while they continue fundraising to await a more complete restoration once they've got all the money in place. The group in Stonewall, therefore, I think would be very happy for financial contributions. So if any of our listeners are inclined to help, please go to mhs.ca/save the kilns.
How about the older pot kilns? Will they be restored as well?
The pot kilns, well, they're actually quite short compared to what they used to be. I saw a historical picture, and they were really quite tall at one time, but they're shorter because people have been stealing stone from them from various other purposes. So today, they're surrounded by a chain link fence to dissuade further theft. But no, there are no immediate plans for restoration. You can see them, though. I mean, you can walk around them. You can, say, look up relatively up close. I did. There's a nice interpretive sign beside them. So it's definitely worth a visit to see how lime was used in many places around Manitoba for many purposes, how that lime was manufactured.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, back in September, we spoke about businesses in Manitoba that have operated for nearly as long as Manitoba has existed. There are lots of non-commercial entities, not businesses, things like societies like mine, the Manitoba Historical Society, associations, clubs, churches, schools, and a whole lot more that have long histories too. So next week, we're going to consider some of Manitoba's longest-lived organizations.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.